which constitute the revelation of Jesus. Right? Watch me. In Revelation chapter 12, starting with verse 7, we're told that there's a war in heaven. As the archangel Michael and his angels make war with the dragon and his angels. And the great dragon, the serpent of old, or Satan, is thrown down with his angels. And there's a loud voice in heaven declaring, now is the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God. Now the salvation, the power, the kingdom of our God has come. Hallelujah. For the accuser of our brethren has been cast down. And watch this. It says, and they, talking about the saints, overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. How many know if they could overcome the dragon and beastly governments and false religion? I mean, if they could overcome, so can we today. Amen? Do you see it, church? Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 20. Verses 1 through 3 speak. It gives us another vision that speaks of the angel, which is the Lord himself, who's the angel or the messenger of the covenant. Watch this. He has a key to the abyss or to hell. And he has a chain. Hallelujah. And Satan is bound. What in the world is this? Well, this is prophetic symbolism, church. It's pure Hebrew poetry. It is a prophetic or symbolic way of talking about Jesus as he's quickened and made alive again, and his mighty conquest of Satan in his death and in his resurrection. Are you hearing me? See, don't destroy the message by being carnal-minded. Are you hearing me? These visions, Revelation chapter 12 and Revelation chapter 20, refer to mysterious redemptive events. As Jesus is quickened and made alive again in hell, takes the keys of death and hell, and legally binds the devil for you and for me, triumphing over him in the resurrection. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? But there's much we do not know. We're not given all the details, only brief glimpses. As the curtain of mystery is pulled back and we're allowed to look behind the scenes and behold, watch this, the great cosmic conflict taking place as God is in Christ conquering the devil and reconciling the world unto himself. You see, in Christ, God himself was dealing with cosmic powers, the kingdom of darkness, principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this present evil, dealing with thrones and dominions in order to accomplish redemption and to bring forth a whole new creation, the sons and daughters of God and the church of Jesus Christ, through whom the Lord might make right everything in the world that's wrong. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just saying that's the purpose of Messiah's administration of the kingdom of heaven. It's to bring forth the sons of God and build the church, form the church as an alternate society, as a whole new creation, that through the church he might destroy the works of the devil and make right everything that's wrong in the world. Is that good? All right, the last point, number three. I won't be long on this. Are you okay? Is it all right if I finish? I mean, I can quit right here. Number three, if we're going to understand the mystery of redemption. Now, I already have a bad reputation about preaching the everlasting gospel. I mean, where are you going to go tonight? You know, honestly, I'm deliberately taking my time with this. Because you ain't got anything, any place to go that's more important than what's going on right here. At some point, we're going to have to take time to deal with things. We're going to have to labor in the Word, in doctrine. We're going to have to restore the foundations of the faith that was once for all laid by Jesus and those original apostles. And then we're going to have to reform ourselves. I'm talking about reorganize, restructure, so that we can function as one church. We're not about dismantling churches. Aren't you glad, Brother Pitts? We're not about merging churches. What we're about is connecting churches by connecting leaders to one another in the Lord. How many know if the leadership gets connected, then the body will be connected? Amen? Don't shout me down. Oh, hallelujah! Come on, let's praise Him for a moment. Stand up right where you are. I don't want you to miss this last point. Come on, stand up. Stir up your faith. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Rebasi. Come on, talk in tongues. Talk in tongues. Talk in tongues. Prophesy. Prophesy. Ribasiko telelema. Remasiko teleba. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, before you sit down, rub your backside and get the blood circulating. And you can be seated. Number three. Watch this. Are we having fun yet? Watch this. This is the third thing we need to see. If we're going to understand the mystery of redemption and what happened from the cross to the throne, not only must we understand the chronology of our Lord's 3 days and three nights in hell and the chronology of His resurrection and His appearances to His disciples. Number three, we must also understand, watch this, the chronology of events surrounding His ascension and His enthronement. Did you know there's a number of events that make up the ascension of our Lord and His enthronement? Hallelujah. After 40 days, watch this. This is finally again. Everybody say finally. Finally, after 40 days. Luke tells us in his gospel, chapter 24, and in the book of Acts, chapter 1, that after 40 days, Jesus leads his disciples out of Jerusalem to the Mount of Olives, which is just outside of the old city of Jerusalem. And the scriptures tell us that Jesus lifted his hands. I love that. He lifted his hands and he blessed them. Glory to God. How many understand we need to learn to do that as ministers? We need to know how to bless, release blessing on God's people. I'm going to release a blessing on you tonight. Amen. Amen. Unless you piss me off. I mean by not listening. Yeah, I know some of you are saying, say what? Myrtle, what did he say? Ho! Hallelujah! Come on, praise him, church! Hallelujah! I just seen if you were listening. That was a test, okay? I don't talk like that normally. So he leads them out of the city, out to the Mount of Olives. He lifts his hands and he blesses them. Watch this. And as they watch, Jesus ascends. And they watch as he goes up. And he goes up and up. Until Luke says, a cloud hides him from their view. Everybody say a cloud. Now, many scholars believe that this cloud that hid Jesus from their view was the great cloud of witnesses. I'm talking about the resurrected, glorified bodies of those Old Testament saints that Jesus had redeemed from paradise and whose bodies had appeared to many in the streets of Jerusalem. And so as Jesus ascends, what I want you to see, he's joined by a great cloud of witnesses, a great company of Old Testament saints. These are the first fruits, the first sheaf company of his resurrection. Because you see, Jesus was moving paradise into heaven. Is that not awesome? How many understand that when Jesus moved paradise from Sheol, or death, to heaven, he changed death forever for the believer? Wow. You see, before this, when a believer died, talking about an Old Testament saint who was offering the sacrifices and believing for the coming of the Messiah. When an Old Testament saint died, his spirit and soul went to paradise, to Abraham's bosom in the upper regions of death. But how many understand that since Jesus moved paradise into heaven, when a believer dies, he doesn't go to paradise. And thank God he doesn't go to purgatory. Are you hearing me? Instead, according to the Apostle Paul, he goes to heaven. Because Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, praise him. I'm going to tell you something. Most of you are going to die before the job is done. I mean, Jesus is not coming back, saints, until the job is done. Until cities have been transformed, nations have been discipled.
Come on!
He isn't coming back until the Jewish nation sees the Messiah coming out of the church. So, how many know we got work to do and we need to get busy preaching the gospel of the kingdom and winning the Gentiles so that the Jews can be grafted back in and the whole earth can be filled with it, and Jesus can come back. Hallelujah. 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 Now, many, watch this, many scholars, many conservative scholars agree or believe that David actually led that ascent. Let me understand that if that great cloud of witnesses were the resurrected, glorified body of the Old Testament saints, that it makes sense that David would take the lead. And many believe, based upon the Psalms of David, that David led the ascent. And as Jesus and the as the saints went up, they went up and up until they came near the battlements of heaven. And as they neared the gates of heaven, David cried out in the words of Psalm 24, "Open up your gates, you everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in." Watch this. And Michael, the great war angel, the great warring archangel, leans over the battlements of heaven and he challenges the procession. Who is this King of glory? And David responds joyfully, victoriously, "The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord is the King of glory." Then David repeats his request. "Open up your gates, you everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in." And once again, Michael challenges, "Who is this King of glory?" And once again, David proclaims, the Lord, strong and mighty, He is the King of glory. Open up your gates and be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors." And the procession, the gates of heaven, the gates of glory, swing open wide. And David and those Old Testament saints and the resurrected, the triumphant, the victorious Messiah, the Son of David, the Son of God, enter the gates of glory. And they continue until they come to the Ancient of Days. Oh, hallelujah. Take your Bible and look at Daniel chapter 7. This is too important. Daniel chapter 7. I want you to see this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Daniel sees in his vision, in Daniel 7, he sees the Son of Man coming up to the Ancient of Days and receiving his kingdom. Hallelujah. Look at it. Verse 13, "I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a Son of Man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "And was presented before him." Look at verse 14. "And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting." How many understand Messiah's kingdom doesn't last a mere 1,000 years? That literal interpretation is a distortion of the symbolism of Revelation chapter 20. How many understand that the 1,000 years, 1,000 is a long time. It's a symbolic way of saying forever. 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 That's what it says here in Daniel chapter 7. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Stop reading, look this way. It's very important for you and I to take note of the fact that Daniel sees the Son of Man coming up to receive his kingdom, not coming down or back to receive his kingdom. Are you there? Everybody say, he came up. Say it again. He came up to the Ancient of Days and received his kingdom, which is an everlasting kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When did the Messiah receive his kingdom? When he ascended. He went up until he came to the Ancient of Days and received his kingdom. Hallelujah. 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 Let me tell you something. Jesus is not waiting in some little anteroom until after the secret rapture, the so-called secret rapture, and the second coming in order to receive his kingdom. Are you there? He received his kingdom when he ascended, when he came up, when he went up or came up to the Ancient of Days. Hallelujah. At that time, the Father said to him, "Well done, my son. Sit. Be seated. Be enthroned at my right hand until all of your enemies I made the footstool of your feet." Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. How many understand those are the words of the Lord through his servant David in Psalm 110, where David says, "The Lord," talking about Yahweh, the Ancient of Days, "said to my Lord," talking about his greater son, the Messiah, "sit at my right hand until I make your enemies the footstool of your feet." And then in verse 2 it says, "Rule in the midst of your enemies." Hallelujah. The purpose of Messiah's kingdom is to deal with the present evil age, to deal with principalities, demonic princes over cities and nations, to deal with the powers of the rulers of the darkness of this present evil age, to deal with thrones and dominion, to deal with beastly government, to deal with oppression and injustice. Hallelujah. 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 And David goes on to say, "And your sons will volunteer in the day of your power." Whoa! Talking about the saints. Talking about you and me and the church. How many understand? Today is the day. Now is the time. Today is Messiah's day. Today is the day of his power. Hallelujah. 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 Watch this now. 10 days later. I'm almost done. 10 days later. The Father takes the holy anointing oil. Talking about the Holy Spirit. And he pours that holy anointing oil upon the head of his anointed, his king, and he anoints him to reign forever as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the scriptures say that holy anointing oil flowed down over his body and fell, poured down over his head and fell on his waiting body in the upper room in Jerusalem. And they were all filled, I love this, with the Holy Spirit and power. And they all spoke in tongues. Mary spoke in tongues. I'm talking about the mother of Jesus. Peter spoke in tongues. James spoke in tongues. They all spoke in tongues. And they prophesied, saints. And then Peter stands up with the 11. And he begins to preach on the day of Pentecost. And he proclaims to the Jews that are waiting there in that upper room. I was looking where I am in my notes. You remember what he preaches? I'm going back to this in Acts 2 to finish. Look what he says. He says, because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne. How many understand he's talking about David? He said David was a prophet and God had promised David. In fact, God swore to David with an oath that he would seat David's son on David's throne. And then in verse 31 it says, David looked ahead prophetically and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, watch this, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this, which you both see and hear. And then he quotes Psalm 116. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain, God has made him, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. What did Peter preach? Hallelujah. He proclaimed on the day of Pentecost, he proclaimed the promise God made to David has been fulfilled, that he would seat David's son on David's throne has already been fulfilled in the resurrection, in the ascension, in his enthronement. The Father said, sit, be seated at my right hand until I make your enemies the foot. And he said, and the proof of it is this, which you see and hear. The Father has poured out the Spirit in his name. What is Peter proclaiming? He's saying, today is Messiah's day. Hallelujah. Today is the day of his power. The throne of David is not empty. The throne of David is occupied. And the proof of it is the Spirit is poured out in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom God has made Lord and King. Is that not powerful to you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, Messiah's day is the day of the Spirit's outpouring. That's what it means, the day of his power. Hallelujah. How many of you have received the Spirit since you believed? Wave at me if you have received it. How many of you speak in tongues? How many of you prophesy? See, one of the problems with Pentecostals and charismatics is that many have never connected the outpouring of the Spirit with Messiah's kingdom. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What I want you to see is, How many of you have the Spirit? Did you know that's a kingdom anointing? Whoa! The outpouring of the Spirit is a kingdom anointing to enable you and me to live righteously and godly in this present evil age and reign in life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a kingdom anointing to enable us to possess cities and nations and fill all things with the glory of God. It's a kingdom anointing, watch this, to enable us to destroy sin and sickness and disease and poverty and lack. It's a kingdom anointing to enable the saints to destroy divorce, spousal and child abuse, alcohol and drug abuse, pornography and sexual addiction, racism, genocide and tribal warfare, economic and educational and political injustice. My God, church. How many of you got the Spirit? Everybody say, I'm anointed. I've got a kingdom anointing. Hallelujah. It's a kingdom anointing to enable you and me to build marriages that work, families that function, businesses that prosper, educational structures, systems that educate and prepare children to take their places of leadership in the world, and to build civil governments that govern righteously and justly. It's a kingdom anointing. Hallelujah. Well, I'm done. Don't you be happy.